This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bibles this evening, and I want you to go to the book of Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon tonight, chapter number 2 and verse number 13. And I want to bring to you a thought, if the Lord will allow me to, out of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and verse number 13, on the song of the dove. The song of the dove. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and in verse number 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What a story. The Song of Solomon is one of those books that a lot of commentators have trouble understanding. They don't know how it is to be taken. There are several ways you can understand the book of Song of Solomon. You can understand it in a literal way, that there was a literal groom and a literal bride. One that had great love for one another, and this was their honeymoon song, the Song of Solomon. It recounts their time from when they first met to the time that they had their first spat and they had their first makeup. You can also understand it from the prophetic sense, where God's great love for the nation of Israel, how that He loved them with an everlasting love, and even though they broke His heart, He was wanting and desiring to take them back. But yet there's an even deeper way, and it is what I would call the way in which God intended it to be, that you see a Christ, you see the Savior of the world, you see the one that is the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see the church of Christ Jesus. You see that Gentile bride that He takes to Himself, that one that doesn't feel beautiful, that one that has been charred by the sun, that one that the world's elements has ripped away her beauty, but yet the King of glory, the King of all the nations, still loves her with an everlasting love. And here in this passage of Scripture, we see in verse number 14 that the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, He looks at His church, and this is what He calls her. Look at verse number 14, if you will. He says, "Oh, my dove." He calls the church of Jesus Christ His everlasting dove. Now, when God makes comparisons in the Bible, church family, it's important that we understand and remember that everything that God does, He does it on purpose. Everything that God does, He does it for a reason. So whenever God tells His church that, "I look at you and I think of you as my dove," that was God's pet name for the church. That was His name of love that He gave to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you've got to remember. When God does something, He does it for a reason. So therefore, what are the similarities that Jesus has for the church that the church has as a dove? Let me give to you just a few if I can. Number one, what similarity does the church have to a dove? Number one, doves are faithful to their mate. A dove has one mate that it will have for all of its life. That's so unusual in the animal kingdom. Every time a mating season comes, all the other animals of the animal kingdom, they will find a different mate because they are not in it for love's sake, but they are in it to reproduce and keep their family going, but not a dove. When a dove finds a mate, It mates with that singular animal for the rest of its life. And that is the purpose of the church. We have found the one whom our soul loves. We have found the one that our heart yearns after, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, like the old songwriter, I will turn to no other. I will go after no other. I will let my heart focus on no other. I will focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. The second comparison that a dove has to the church is that a dove is a clean animal. A dove is a clean animal of my nature. In the book of Leviticus, it's labeled as a clean animal. But it's not just its nature. A dove has a clean home. It will not allow trash and filth and waste to build up in its nest. A dove is a clean animal in its appearance. A dove is constantly preening itself. A dove is constantly making sure that it doesn't have dirt, and it doesn't have grime, and it doesn't have filth. And so is the church of Jesus Christ to be a pure creature. Brothers and sisters, it grieves my heart down to the very core to what some of the churches have allowed to go on. We've got more sin in the church than we do outside the church. We've got more sin in the pews than we do in the world. So many times the same people that are in bars on Saturday night are in church pews on Sunday morning. And I'm all for sinners getting saved. But I am not all about whenever singers have been singing for the devil on Saturday night and singing for Jesus on Sunday. I have no desire for somebody that drinks liquor on Saturday night to have them trying to drink of the wells of salvation on Sunday morning. God desires His church to be a clean church. He desires His people to be a clean people. And I'm begging the church of Jesus Christ to take this time that we have at home and to look at yourself and say, oh God, examine my heart and look at me and see if there be any wicked way within me. Now, the third way that doves are similar to the church is that doves have no gallbladder. A gallbladder in a person's body and in an animal's body, it produces bile. And bile is that bitter part of an animal or a person that keeps the, that tears down things. It's that bitter bile that tears down the things that go into the stomach. But yet doves have no gallbladder, therefore they have no bitterness inside of them. The church of Jesus Christ must be a clean place, but it must also be a place of love. It must be a place where there is no bitterness. Too many times people on that side of the church are mad at people on that side of the church. You won't talk to them and they won't talk to you. May God rip out of every single one of us the root of bitterness. I do not have time to be mad at my brother. I do not have time to be mad at my sister. I'm the dove of God. I'm the child of God. I'm the bride of God. I'm the loving creature that Jesus gave His life for. Therefore, I do not have time to be bitter. I don't have time to see that person what they said or did not say. I don't have time to be mad at them for what they did or did not do. I'm the creature and the child of God. I'm the bride of God, and I'm focusing my time on being in the presence of God, not worrying about being in the presence of people. Now, here's the fourth little thing that I want them to put up on the screen. Doves find their way home by keeping their eyes on the sun. When a dove will fly far away from home, do you know how they find their way back home? They don't remember from whence they came. Here's what they do. They fly back home by remembering and keeping their eyes on the sun. When they leave, they realize where their home is in coordination with the sun. You say, explain that. I can't explain it from a dove's perspective, but I can explain it from a child of God's perspective. Honey, I'm headed to the house one day. I'm going home to be with Jesus. And how do I keep joy in this world? How do I keep love in this world? How do I keep life in this world? By keeping my eyes turned on Jesus. By keeping my heart set on things above and not on things on the earth. I can't let my mind race about what the stock market's doing. I can't let my mind race about what disease is doing. I can't let my mind race about what life is doing. I've got to keep my eyes on Christ. I've got to keep my eyes on the Lord God of heaven. I've got to keep my eyes on the Son, and I know by the grace of God and the faith of God in my heart, I will make it home. We are the dove of God. Now, I want you to watch something in verse number 14. Here's what it says in verse number 14. Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Watch this phrase. Let me hear thy voice. That word voice in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word which means the clanging of strings. Just a little bit ago when Dwayne was playing the strings, he would take his fingers and by vibrating them and hitting the strings, the vibration made a clanging, and in music, that clanging comes together in a melody and a harmony. Here's what the king said to his bride. He said, something has happened, and I'm no longer hearing your song. Something has happened, and I'm no longer hearing the joy that comes from your heart. He says, I long to hear your voice. I'm afraid that the song, the joy, the power, the strength has left the church of Jesus Christ. I have preached in way too many churches that resemble funeral homes instead of the joyful assembly of God. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be comical. I'm telling you the truth. People of God have very little joy. One thing I do think that God is doing in this time is He's making us yearn to be back in the presence of God. He's making us yearn to be back in the assembly of God. But I'm not asking you about the assembly. I'm talking when you go out among your family. I'm asking you when you're in among your coworkers. I'm asking you when you're talking to your husband or wife, do you have that melody in your heart? Or has sin stolen away that song? Has sin taken away that peace? Has sin and has your apathy and has your lukewarmness, has it stolen away the joy of your heart? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, God needs His people to sing. He's yearning for His people to sing the song of heaven again and have that peace in their heart. Let me tell you right quickly about the song of the dove. Let me give you 2 points if I can. Number one, may I show you the security that we find in the midst of silence. If you'll notice that what it says in verse number 14, He says, oh my dove that art in the clefts of the rock and in the secret places of the stairs. Now, it does not take a rocket scientist for me to look at your life and for me to say, obviously, the song is gone out of your heart. It doesn't take long for me to say the song has gone out of your marriage. It doesn't take long for me to say, preacher, that the song has gone out of your sermon. It doesn't take long for me, church, to say the song has gone out of your assembly. It doesn't take long for me to look at a nation and say that the song is no longer there. It's easy to see. There is no joy. There is no happiness. There is no peace. There is no power. There is no unity. There is no unction. There is no ability. There is no anointing upon us anymore. It doesn't take long. But here's what happens. I'm looking at you and you've got enough preachers that will say that you've got this and you got that. I'm not talking about that. This is where I'm going. The devil will come to you and this is what he'll say. He'll say, you've messed up so bad that you've fallen out of the hand of God. You've messed up so bad that God doesn't love you anymore. You've lost your joy. Now you have no place in the family of God. That is a lie from the devil. How do I know that? Because I want you to notice where the man here in Song of Solomon finds his dove. That dove that has flown away. That dove that no longer is singing a song. He goes looking for, just like God. He's looking for you and I right now. He's looking for your heart and He's looking for my heart. You say, preacher, where does He find him? Notice what it says in verse number 14. Notice where He finds that dove. Number one, He says, oh my dove that are in the clefts of the rock. That dove had flown away. That dove had left the coop. And that song of Solomon, he went looking for that dove. Where did he find him? Even though that dove had gone away from the heart of the king, it was still in the cleft of the rock. You say, what is the cleft of the rock? To the Jewish mind, that would have taken their mind all the way back to Brother Moses. Let me show you a verse in Exodus chapter number 33 and verse number 22. Moses said this, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." Now watch this, brothers and sisters. Moses said, "God, I can't stand being around this people. They've torn my nerves up and they've torn your nerves up. But here's what I'm asking. God, can I just see your glory?" God said, "This is what I'll do. I'll open up a place and I'll stick you inside. And when my glory passes by, you'll be safe inside of the cleft of the rock." Now notice where that dove flew. When that dove flew away from her husband, when that dove flew the coop and was no longer in the presence of the king, she was still safe in the cleft of the rock. You say, "Preacher, I've messed up on God. Preacher, I've walked away from God. Preacher, I've left God. I don't sing like I used to. I don't have the joy like I used to. I don't have the peace like I used to. And the devil tells me that I'm no longer in the family of God." You say, "Preacher, what is the cleft of the rock to the child of God?" Just as the cleft of the rock to Moses, it was a split place in the side of a mountain. You know what the cleft of the rock is to you and I? It is that split place that the soldier pierced in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are that grafted in branch. We're not the olive tree of Israel, but we're that grafted in branch according to Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. Glory to God, we've been put in the side of the Lord Jesus. And though I may be away from the heart of God, and though I may not have the joy that I used to have, I'm still safe in the side of the Lord Jesus. You say, "Preacher, did I lose my salvation?" You cannot lose what you did not earn, and you can't fall away from what you were never holding yourself in. I've been put in the side of Christ. I've been placed in the hand of God, and I can't lose it. I can't fall away from it. I can't get out of it, because God's the one that keeps me in it. And even though I may have lost my song, I have not lost my standing. I'm still in the family of God. Let me encourage you in something right quick. You may have messed up. You may have fallen by the wayside, but there is still forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many teenagers, college kids, singles, adults are looking for something real. Let me tell you the realest thing that's ever existed. It's the forgiving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, where that He can take a sinful heart, wash it in perfect blood, and bring it out clean as the driven snow. Now I want to show you something else if I can. I want to show you the sweetness of a song. What is a song? A song is what happens when vocal cords vibrate in a way that makes a beautiful sound that comes up. Now, I'm going to say something. I've heard a whole lot of vibrations that weren't very attractive when they came out. There's nobody in the congregation right now, so I can say that. I've heard a whole lot of vibrations that were not good. But here's the question. What causes those vibrations to happen? Here's what it is. It's when air from the inside is pushed up and out. The vocal cords don't make the sound. They're simply just there and available. But when the air comes up and out, the air does the noise. Now watch this. Help me out, Scott. Watch this. Play a little something. Let me take this to the house for you right quickly. You say, "Preacher, I have lost my song. No, you haven't. You haven't lost your song. You've just shut your mouth. Because you never had the power of joy. You never had the fountain of ability. It was all of the Holy Spirit. What gave you that joy back then? It's when you placed your life in the hand of God and said, Lord, here I am. Take me. Use me. But sin has closed your mouth, and now the air is trying to come out, but there's no way for it to vibrate. You see, the Holy Spirit within you and I is what gives us that joy. The Holy Spirit within you and I is what gives us that power. Preachers, do you know what God's doing right now? God is stripping away everything we thought was a real church, and He's run it down to the very core. Do you know what it is? It's fellowship, prayer, and the Word of God. That's a church. We don't have the ability to do any of our frills and thrills. All we can do is take a Bible and tell people what God has said. Child of God, aren't you tired of letting sin close your mouth? God longs to hear the joy out of your life. God longs to hear the sweetness of your fellowship with Him. What's stopping you from walking with God? Nothing, just you. I want to take a moment and I want to ask you a question. Aren't you tired of the fruitless life you're living? Aren't you tired of joylessness? Aren't you tired of that? All you've got to do is say, Lord, here's my life. It's yours. Lord, here's my heart. It's yours. And once again, the song of God's dove can rise to the heavens. The song of God's dove can rise to the heavens. My prayer for you is that your song will rise again.